Welcome to the Minivate Gang Podcast, episode 214. I'm Steve Borsch, and I'm on with Tim Elliott.
Good morning.
Graham Thickens.
Hey, and this is our first one of the summer, right, with this weather?
Yeah, summer. I don't know if I'd quite go that far. And Phil Wilson.
That's me.
How you boys doing?
Doing fine, thank you for asking.
Well, I broke the shorts out of the closet.
Yeah.
So, not that you guys want to see my white pasty legs, but it's so great to be able to actually do it. Oh man.
Oh, it is. It's just like one guy said in a tweet. It's like if you don't like to see people tra-la-laing all weekend, you don't want to be around Minnesotans.
Yeah, no kidding.
Right now. Because everyone's going nuts, you know.
You know, ice is still on the lakes, and it'll be gone, though, in a few days.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah. Well, so what's the deal with this Minnesota venture funding dipping sharply in the first quarter? What's that all about, Graham?
What'd you do to piss them off?
Yeah.
Right. Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons, but, you know, the biggest one that keeps getting cited is the med tech sector is just not getting the funding anymore, like as it used to. I mean, it's getting some, but just not nearly what it used to get. And of course, the main reasons cited for that are the lengthening process of FDA approvals and, you know, the uncertainty around, you know, Obamacare. And the med tech sector is definitely down. And so the overall Minnesota numbers look pretty horrible. And, you know, people were quoted in the story as saying, yeah, it wasn't a great quarter. But then a quarter is not a trend, as my friends at Price Waterhouse often say, you know.
Right.
So, I mean, a quarter doesn't necessarily mean a whole lot. But the most interesting thing out of the whole thing, did you guys see this? The one tech company that gets like a short sentence in there that raised $10.9 million in one round.
Update Logic, yeah.
Yeah, and it's a company a lot of people, I am certain, have not heard much about because they're fairly low profile. They have no news releases posted on their site at all. And if you read about them, and we'll put the link in the show notes, you read about the management. This thing came out of Polaroid, but it was an acquisition that Polaroid made. Guyben made several years, I think, before Petters bought it. A guy named Kurt Thielen. Interesting cat. And if you drill down far enough, you see this guy came out of Network Systems, which then was acquired by Storage Tech. I mean, there's some deep Minnesota ties here. And apparently they built one heck of a company with some pretty major partnerships in the consumer electronics business, because what they are all about is a system called a platform, I guess, or a technology called NetReady, which is device management for supporting and optimizing digital home products. So they're in cahoots with chip companies like Broadcom. And, you know, they've got partners like, you know, Magnavox, Philips, and, you know, a lot of the big, D-Link, a lot of the big consumer products companies. And apparently they're just rolling right along, raising big money, and nobody much knows about them.
Well, when I first looked at this NetReady, it was, to me, it was an Internet of Things kind of play. That's really directionally where they're headed. And, but then with the whole consumer electronics thing and all of that, I just thought, you know, how are these guys going to get any traction? Because there's a lot going on in the space. You know, there's AT&T's home automation service, you know, that Digital Life.
Yep. Which was just announced in several cities.
Yep.
Available in several cities.
Yep. And then on the geek side, there's a new messaging platform. I'll put something in the show notes about it, but it's there's an organization called OASIS, which is the Organization for the Advancement of Structured Information Standards. But they've declared that MQTT, which is this messaging queuing technology is going to be the messaging protocol of choice. Well, what's interesting about that is I didn't see anything in there related to that with NetReady and any of their PDFs, you know, and any of their data sheets and specs and so forth. So I don't even know what protocols they're using.
Well, it may very well be a proprietary system.
Yeah.
You know, obviously it would be, I guess, but a lot of folks have bought into it, and it seems like they've got a pretty substantial board. One of their board members is George Dankel, who was a senior VP at Best Buy. So it's interesting to see this company get surfaced, even though the Tribune story didn't say a word about what they do or who they are.
Yeah, yeah.
But it just pops up in an SEC, you know, filing that they raised this money out of a VC firm out east called Core Capital. Interesting story, you know. Even Dan Carr mentioned, oh, well, it's interesting. It's good to see that someone in another area of technology is raising money in our town, you know, with MedTech so flat.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, it is interesting. So, you know, IT and non-MedTech is still getting funding in Minnesota, even though it comes in dribs and drabs.
Right, right, right. Well, it shouldn't be too bad. To see things get cranked up. You know, it's all the buzz about what's happening in the medical space with smartphone technology and with tablets, that there's no question that more and more we're going to have devices that we can connect up to our bodies. You know, there's heart monitors now, there's diabetes testing, and the stuff gets sent directly to your doc or clinic. And I would guess that we're going to start to see this space continue to explode.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yep. It's fascinating. And, you know, not to touch on Apple yet, but there's talk about, you know, the so-called watch that may come, maybe, you know, much more, you know, a health-oriented kind of a thing, of which there are already devices out there. But, yeah, it's a huge area of interest. And technology advancements going on there.
Yeah. So, Phil.
Yes.
Radio boy, I should call you. So,
radio boy.
Unfortunately, Donuts passed away of Napping Donuts. Now,
did you ever know Donuts, Phil?
No, I did not.
No. He was way before your time in
town.
Yes,
it's true. It's true. Before your time. Yes, I know of Donuts, but no, I did not know Donuts, and didn't really hear him, you know, when I was growing up in Iowa. So,
oh, he was wild. Napping Donuts was like the hottest show on radio in the 80s.
It was incredible.
Morning show. The guy was funnier than hell.
I had the pleasure of hanging out with Chuck Knapp a little bit, but not Donuts.
Chuck's a pretty cool guy too. I've never met him, but. God, they used to have fun, you know, but that Donuts guy, there was talk later, I heard this, not at the time, that he'd come on the show drunk.
Oh, oh really?
We've all been on the air drunk.
Yeah, but at 6 in the morning?
why not?
Well, if you're up late.
Well, it's usually it usually means you haven't gone to bed. So
that was it.
It's not out of the question. I remember working in Omaha, we did an entire... tornado warning coverage, and I was somewhat in the bag. So
there's a tornado coming, so get the hell onto your bed.
I was just damned excited to say the words hook echo when I was 3 sheets to the wind. But hey, oh, you know, man. when that pager goes off, yes, it was a pager, you got to get there.
Well,
drunk or not.
So, yeah. I'm sorry to hear that Donuts has passed away.
Well,
what's his real name?
Michael Douglas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
How did he get the name Donuts?
I don't know. I always thought it related to like coffee and donuts in the morning, but I don't know if he had the name before they started the show or what.
I'm sure it was a based on the morning show situation. Yeah.
Oh, that could be. Yeah.
So, yeah. It's quaint name. I'm sure he loves that name, or loved that name after all.
Well, you know, I just wonder what sorts of things. I mean, I think about my kids. You know, Elizabeth is now going to be 25 this month, and Alex is 19 in October. And I just wonder what they're going to think back on, or what they're going to see change, or people die that they're going to go, oh man, you know, that boy, do you remember when? I mean, because they're, you know, media was such an anchor in so many people's lives. You know, everybody watched the 6 p.m. or 10 p.m. newscast, and they listened to WCCO radio, unless you were living in Iowa. You guys had radio down there, didn't you?
No, we were still going to the,
they
to
had
the
crank,
we were
crank
going to the vaudeville shows. So.
Okay, just curious. Anyway, just wonder what they'll miss.
Why I oughta.
Oh, I know what you mean, though, and you know, I'm still getting over George Jones dying. You know, big front page story on, you know, the best country singer of all time. You know, and I'm not even a big country fan, but. Well, you know, there was another guy that checked out yesterday.
Now somebody can write a country song about him dying.
Yeah, and they will, I'll bet.
In a truck.
Wow.
That guy had top hits in 5 decades.
Wow.
Are you kidding me?
we were talking a little bit about you know, as we talk about radio, Steve, I'm reminded of the email you sent me for that article from Radio Inc. magazine about there was a convergence conference that's held every year that, you know, radio people have put together to talk about how do they, you know, integrate and operate in a growing media landscape, including online and mobile. And it was that article, Steve, do you remember that that supposedly representatives from Ford and GM said that within 2 years, AM and FM would be removed from car radio or cars.
Yeah.
What a load of shit.
It sure was.
Yeah.
I mean, can you think of a cheaper way to get audio inside a car than AM, FM radio? You think the car companies are going to dump that? No way.
I know. Just crazy.
Just like, oh, come on. Give me a break. Those guys should be fired. Anyway.
So I was... just stunned when I first saw this, and actually I saw Julio's article first, which, by the way, if you're trying to pull up at this moment at 8:15 on Saturday morning, TwinCities.com is just now down. It wasn't down in a half hour
ago.
What's
that website anyway?
It's
I don't know.
Did they have like a NASCAR or something? Because I mean, the entire website has ads like every square inch.
Yeah, well, they're trying to drive revenue.
I know, but it's to the distraction of the content. I mean, it's like it's really egregious.
It's the MySpace of the Twin Cities.
It is, yeah. Oh, yeah. I like when you go there now and it says file not found. That's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
Very nice.
I know.
We're asking you to read it.
Well, we'll still put the link in the show notes. It'll probably come back up. But at any rate.
A crazy, crazy story.
Yeah, the article is about Pet Chats, which is a webcam treat and odor dispenser for pets. And when I first saw this, it was last week sometime. And then I saw Julio's story, which actually I think had the video in it, if I'm not mistaken. But you can basically remotely call your dog from your webcam, and the dog will come over and have a treat. And you know what's so funny about that is, I don't know about you guys, if you have a dog, but you know, I hear people talk about how the dogs watch television, and my dog doesn't look at the TV. I mean, it's just, you know, so if I call her over with a webcam, I mean, she's not going to come over unless, you know, she gets trained that every time she hears that sound, she's going to get a treat. You know, which is obviously what happens, but it just seems like a weird concept.
Yeah, if the economy was really good, I could see this as a novelty, but I just can't see this as a business, especially now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Well, unless it's maybe $100 or something, which I doubt it is. It's got to be. It's got what, two webcams, right? So it's got to be some level of money.
$349.
Okay.
Oh my.
I mean, would
my
you
God.
Would you spend that much money on your just keep track of your dog?
Not a chance.
I wouldn't, but I guess there's a market for everything. Who knows?
Well, you'd be surprised. Go ahead.
I was going to say if they could get into PetSmart or something, you know, that would be different. But I doubt they're going to get into a major chain like that at a price point that high.
Oh, they'll get into Best Buy, I'm sure.
Yeah, maybe there. Yeah.
Well, but here's what you guys have to know, and I only know this because my wife incorporates trend stuff because it has to do with the home, about what people are spending on the pet space. And the estimate for this year will be $55 billion on pet industry expenditures.
Oh, my God. That's almost as big as golf.
It's
probably bigger.
$55 billion. I mean, it's like, oh, my God. I mean, it says 46% of U.S. households have a dog. 38% have a cat. You know, it's like, oh, my God.
I just don't see the use for this, but you know, I just have my dog call me when she needs something. So I'm not really concerned about it.
Gave her your old cell phone, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, here you go. You take that with you. But, you know, the touch pad, she has troubles with the touch screen though.
Because of her claws.
Because of the claws.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, she's constantly bitching about no opposable thumbs. So keeps dropping the phone.
Somehow you know, wrap it around the paw there.
God. All right. So, Tim, you're the resident Best Buy Death Watch expert.
Yeah.
So what's going on with Best Buy? This
Death Watch expert.
Oh, about the same. They did have this a story that we covered a year or so ago when they started their recycling program.
Uh huh.
And they recycled a whole bunch of stuff. So that was the good news of the week. But yeah, they're kind of bumping along. So who knows what's going to happen there, you know, longer term, but, they seem to be doing, or it seems to be stabilized at this point. Hmm. So who knows if they can actually grow that business?
Well, it sounds like they're, you know, Jolie may have gotten them over the hump.
Well, at least stable, which is good. So we'll have to see what happens after. You know, the first job is to sort of stabilize the decline, and that seems to have happened. But now it's can they grow and can they compete with Amazon head to head? And they're doing some things that are interesting. They're rolling all those Samsung stores out. You know, the store within a store, which I think is a good idea for both parties. So, you know, we'll give them some time and we'll, you know, keep circling back and checking in on them.
Well, okay.
I'm a little concerned that the board is a bunch of cronies of Schultz, you know.
Yeah.
Well, at least, yeah, two of them certainly are.
Yeah. So I'm not sure if they're going to be big into, you know, massive change. So, and that may be a problem for them.
Well, yep. Okay. So what are your thoughts, Tim, on even though it's been delayed until May? That the Senate is behind an internet sales tax for any online store that makes more than $1 million annually.
Well, what's my thought about it?
Yeah.
It'll level the playing field, which is one of the things that Best Buy has to compete with. But I don't think it's going to be their salvation. And we'll have to see if that law actually gets through because Amazon has a pretty active lobby and obviously that would affect their business.
I think I agree with you, Tim. It levels the playing field. I don't think it's the be all end all for brick and mortar, but I don't know. I think it has a chance of passing, Tim. I really do. I just think in this day and age when we're looking for every possible nickel, it does smack of leveling that playing field in a good way. And no, consumers may not necessarily jump up and down, but at the same time, I think most stuff online is still cheaper, even if you're paying a tax.
Well, the thing that Best Buy has a problem with is their selection is a lot less than Amazon has.
Right.
Sure.
Right.
And their pricing still is is not competitive. For a lot of the items, or for many of the items, they're very close. But if you're, you know, if you want to buy an HDMI cable, you can find them on Amazon for $5. And I'll bet you the cheapest one they have at the store is probably 30 or
30. Yeah. It's $29.95. I checked.
Exactly.
That's just crazy.
So, I mean, crap like that is going to be their downfall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if I can see convenience, but I mean, you know, a $5 cable should cost $15 for convenience. It shouldn't cost $30.
Well, that's the thing. That's the tough part that any of the brick and mortar, you know, or even electronic store based industries. You remember, Steve, when we were back in the day when we sold, you know, stereo components, you know, it was always the accessories that had the big markup.
Oh, God,
you know,
yes.
It was always the accessories, you know.
And you were an idiot as a retailer if you didn't stock all that stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And I remember, you know, back in the day when we sold turntables, the turntable was $99 and, you know, it had a markup of maybe 3 or 4%. But the cartridge that you put in it so you could listen to your records was, you know, it was like
1,000% gross margin.
1,000% margin, you know. It's like the thing cost a dime and we sold it for $99. So,
right.
It's tough for the battleship that is retail to turn in the bathtub and realize, oh, you know, we can't charge that anymore. So it's a process that it's going to take more of a mindset change than simply adding, you know, sales tax to online purchases.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other thing that they don't have going for them, Best Buy, is an like a whole, you know, consumables sort of business like what Amazon has. Ecosystem. That's what I was trying to think of. So Amazon has an ecosystem of content, and Best Buy does not.
Well, not only that, but
that's going to be a problem for them.
Well, and plus they've also got a network of affiliates, so they can stock very, very narrow sales items that they don't actually have to deal with and ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah. I think that's a big help, because there have been things that we've had shipped from, you know, Joe Schmedlap's retail. Just because Amazon doesn't stock it, but they've got this affiliate that has it.
So, I love Joe Schmedlap's. I think I bought my last bike there.
So. Oh God.
Well, you know,
I love that.
I was going to say, in regard to the internet sales tax, I've read where Amazon actually isn't opposing it.
No, they're not
so much anymore.
eBay is probably the biggest one to
maybe so, yeah. Because isn't Amazon already in something like 17 states with distribution centers, or will be soon? And so they realize their day is coming to an end.
Yeah,
no sales tax.
Because if you are in a state, if you have a physical preference in a state, you do have to pay the sales tax. So yeah, you're right, Graham. And I did read that, and clearly, I think the biggest online sales, you know, site is eBay. They're probably against this more than anything.
Well, and they're probably trying to protect their small sellers.
Sure.
But if the requirement is going to be 1 million in revenues, there aren't a huge number of eBay sellers that are beyond 1 million, I guess.
No, but then it gets a little cloudy as to who is the seller. Is it eBay, or is it the person using eBay? And is eBay liable at all for the tax? And so, yeah, it's going to be that'll be clear as mud.
Well, we have the state of Michigan coming after us. We just got our second notice. They want us to pay tax on anything sold into the state of Michigan. And, but if you read further down the letter, it says that the threshold is 350K. Well, you know, we're not selling 350K worth of downloads to customers in Michigan. But if Michigan, here's the question that I wonder about is, you know, if Michigan starts to tax services like Mark Dayton wanted to do, you know, are we going to have to pay, because we have a client in Michigan, and we have to pay tax on our services? You know, and for small business, you know, just keeping track of all that stuff and then paying it out accordingly is not trivial.
No, it isn't.
So hopefully they'll at least keep the benchmark, you know, the threshold high enough, like that $1 million, where you won't have to pay on every nickel and dime that you sell.
Mm-hmm.
So
you do wonder how they're going to enforce that 1 million though. I mean, who's gonna, you know, audit all of that? You know, I suppose tax returns, but it would be have to be based on company tax returns, company or personal, depending on what kind of an entity it was, partnership or corp or whatever.
Yep. Well, and I don't even want to get into this, so I probably shouldn't even mention it, but I'm going to anyway.
Uh-oh.
Do you know who Matt Taibbi is? He's he's the editor of Rolling Stone, contributing editor for Rolling Stone.
Sure.
And he's written a bunch of books, and he's won awards and all that kind of stuff. He wrote an article on Rolling Stone. I'll put a link in the show notes that you guys heard about the LIBOR scandal, right? Where, you know, $500 trillion in assets were basically being manipulated. So
in the UK,
so the rates,
in the UK, UK, right?
Well, yeah, but yeah, it's a, but it's a so benchmark for everything. Well,
for everything.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So there's a new one, a new crisis just emerging about how all the big banks are colluding on variable rate to fixed rate sorts of interest rates. And you got to read the article, but it is, you know, when I look at all this stuff and you think about all the people that are trying to generate revenue and now the states are having a tough time. I mean, if the cities and municipalities and everybody else doesn't start to raise hell about the fact that they're basically being manipulated to the point where you really can't make decent gross margin if you're borrowing a lot of money. And that these guys are making money hand over fist because they can manipulate the market. So it kind of makes me wonder about when people are going to get wise, or is it just simply too complex for most people to understand, so it just kind of goes away? I don't know.
Well, either that or we start requiring economics classes as early as the fourth grade or something, because yes, it does get complicated, and the vast majority of high school graduates and even college graduates don't have a grasp on complex economics matters like that. And I'd be the first to admit I hated economics in college, you know, but, you know, I'm probably not alone in saying, gee, maybe I should have paid more attention to that stuff.
Well, I took micro and macroeconomics at the U, and the microeconomics was taught by a guy whose name I remember, Masahide Mamura. And honest to God, I could not understand but three words that the guy would say during the entire class.
We've all been there.
Oh my God. It was absolutely unbelievable.
But what do you do? You know, you read the book and you
get a C.
Yeah. You struggle to get a C.
You struggle to get a C. Yeah.
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 Been there.
Well, okay.
Been there.
Yeah. All right. I didn't necessarily want to bring this up, but honest to God, because Robert Scoble, you know, the guy will get like all freaky and wonderful about, you know, this is the most amazing thing I've ever, and then like 2 weeks later you'll find something else. But he wrote an article for Business Insider about how he just wore Google's glasses for 2 weeks and I'm never taking them off.
Okay. You know why that is, right?
Because he's getting paid.
No, well, there's that too, but
also
there is, you know, if you've ever met Robert, he never really looks at you. He's always looking for the next name, bigger name past you.
Yeah.
So these glasses should help him do that much better and more efficiently now. So
yeah.
He can actually go back and replay stuff that he's, I missed seeing that guy.
Yeah. Well, he's truly sucking up to
Google.
He's
writing a book about it.
Okay. All right.
About Google Glass. I mean, that's so he's, you know, he'll find something else in 6 months and it'll be over.
Well, he was already working on one book. You're saying he's working on a second one now? I mean, the one book, The Age of Context, isn't out yet.
Right.
Of course, it's his co-author, Shel Israel, who I also know, who's the real worker behind that book, I think.
Oh, there's no question.
Yeah, no, I think Robert's also writing a book about Google Glass.
Yeah, I wouldn't be a bit surprised the way he's just gushing about it, you know.
Well, but, it is an interesting technology, but there's a lot of problems with it.
You know what I think the biggest problem is? And Tom Ferremsky, who's a longtime writer in Silicon Valley, used to be with San Jose Merck News, or no, he was with the Financial Times or something. And he wrote a really great post. I'll put it in the show notes about how it'll never be socially acceptable. You know, he thinks it's dead in the water because it something may come 10 years down the line, but this ain't it, you know. And I would totally agree. You know, it's a geek thing. And he says something like the geeks that, you know, would normally be sitting in the corner not communicating with anyone anyway can now have these glasses on. I mean, he wasn't real, you know, blatant about it. He makes a very, you know, unemotional sort of argument about it. And I couldn't agree more. I don't think it's going to have any kind of, you know, mass market appeal beyond just a curiosity.
It'll be like the Pebble Watch. You know, they'll be ardent supporters.
Right. Yep.
And they'll all be really geeky, and you know, that'll be it'll carve out a little market position, but it won't be a huge thing. And the reason is that it's sort of like you know, wireless headsets, those Bluetooth earpiece things that people wear. Right. This looks so like a douchebag wearing those things.
Yeah.
Talking, you know what I mean? To yourself walking down the street.
Right, yeah. Right. I mean, in the car, I guess it's okay, but I've got one of those, you know, car things with sync, you know, in the car now. So I don't even have to do that. Mm. So
you've got sync in the car now?
Yeah. Yeah, we've had
you
it for
so cool.
We've had it for a while. And it is a nice system. But yeah, before I would wear it, and it's uncomfortable. It makes you look stupid. Same thing with glass. I mean, it's the same exact problem.
Yeah. And people just aren't going to be comfortable knowing that you could be shooting video of them in any given instance. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
People aren't going to buy it. You know, it's going to creep people out. And, you know, it's one thing to be holding up your phone and saying, you know, just by a certain, you know, motion, people can see, oh, you're shooting a video of me. And, you know, they can always say, wait, stop, don't do that or something. But when you're wearing the glasses, you know, well, does the light come on or something and tell them that, you know, tell the party that they're being videoed? I don't know. But people just aren't likely to feel comfortable around it. And for that reason, this Tom Ferremsky writes, he doesn't think it'll go, you know.
It'll be a boon, though, for exhibitionists and people in the adult film industry.
Oh, yeah.
There you go.
I mean, that'll make the AVN convention just an unbelievable experience.
Yeah, right.
Notice how Tim is throwing around the acronym for the adult video whatever news?
He knows it. He knows it.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
It's probably yeah, not whatever it is.
You know, it's always around CES, or it used to be around CES, or right, at the same time. So
yeah, exactly. Exactly.
It wasn't this year.
I'll tell you the one thing about Google Glass. I mean, if it was affordable, you know, a few hundred dollars or something, and the augmented reality stuff was really great. So, you know, especially if you're traveling, I would love to be able to, you know, have you ever seen those photos that somebody will overlay over, like, you know, the Champs-Élysées, and on the one side is the black and white of the Nazis marching down, and the other is today. And how cool it would be to be able to look around and see something as it was overlaid over the present day, all done by you know, geolocation and so on. I think that would, oh my God, if traveling in Europe, I think would be, I'd walk around with my jaw hanging open. Of course, I'd be a pickpocket's dream.
Yeah, right.
God.
Say,
well, I'm working on a glassware. That's what they call them, glassware, the apps.
Ooh.
It's called Squirrel. So it'll be just for you, Steve.
Squirrel?
Yeah, squirrel. Okay. You walk around and occasionally it'll like point something out, you know.
Okay.
You know, like in that what was that movie where they had the squirrel? Which one was that?
Up.
Up. Oh, okay. Yeah, just like an up.
Yeah.
Squirrel.
Squirrel.
Squirrel. Squirrel. Yeah.
You know, that's something for people with ADD like I have, so.
Yep.
You have
a- oh God. Yeah, absolutely. But it's oh, but it's at the core of my strength because I see things that people, other people don't see.
The core of my strength.
I believe so.
You can get disability for that, I think.
What, for ADD? No.
Yeah, I think so.
No.
Serious?
No. Well, of course, it would be great to have a handicap sticker when I can't find a parking space.
A lot of people consider ADD a gift. So.
Yeah, I do. Absolutely. So do most native tribes, regardless of location in the world, which is another curious thing. All right, so let's go to the segment, Tim. You have to do the bumper.
Oh no, I this is getting old.
All right.
Oh come on.
So
oh,
what is the security tip of the week?
No.
Thanks, Tim. All right.
All right. If you're not going to do it, you got to commit, dude. You just got to commit.
Well, it's getting old. Come on. We need a sweeper. Someone's got to do a sweeper for us.
Something really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really?
It sounds like maybe we could just rip off the Onion News Network music because that sounds really official.
if I find some time, I'll produce one for you. So,
all right.
There you go.
All right. So what's the security problem this week, Steve?
Security patch of the week. Go ahead.
Are you guys done?
Yeah.
All right. Hang on 1 second.
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. He's got one up. You know what he's doing.
Steve's security tip of the week.
I like how you have fanfare for the common man.
I was going to say
that is classic.
There you go. All right, it's another Java security flaw. So last week there was the one that Oracle crushed, and then another one came out. So the bottom line is, if you have Java on your computer, you've got to remove it. Just remove it. If you're not using it.
What if you're an Android developer and you have to have it because you write your programs in Java?
Then
what do you do then? You're screwed?
No. If you're doing that, then you have half a brain and you know what's going on and you're going to be able to protect yourself.
But if you have to have Java active to use an online backup system.
Yeah, there's another legitimate one there. Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know if we need
So if you're using it, then you've got to learn what to do and what not to do.
Okay.
So if you have to have it.
What do we need to do?
You need to remove Java.
You need to remove Java. Well, okay. So here's the best strategy. Seriously. The best strategy is to use one particular browser. I mean, there's plenty of browsers on the market, Chrome and Firefox, Opera, Safari. And so use a browser that you only use for those Java applications.
If it's a backup system that you have installed on your computer that doesn't use a browser, what do you do then, though, Mr. Smart Guy?
Well, then just make sure that on your browser that you have Java turned off. So not JavaScript, but Java. And I'll put links in the show notes where you can go in and you can take care of your browser.
Thanks.
So your primary browser, you want to turn Java off. Because then it won't fire up your current installation of Java, and also make sure that you keep your Java updated.
Java hot.
Yeah.
So the updates we get from Apple we should always do.
And we get
those occasionally that relate to Java,
and there is one that just came out.
Just came out yesterday.
Yeah.
I'll have to check that because it didn't pop up for me yet. Hmm.
Oh, it popped up for me.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's got iPhoto update, something with the digital camera, RAW compatibility, Safari 6.04, and Java for OS 10.
Yep, and Apple's turned Java off in Safari by default. So when you run an upgrade,
okay,
it just turns it off.
Okay.
So no, seriously though, Phil, to your point, just make sure that that your primary browser that you're using all the time, that you've got it turned off.
Yes, sir.
And just use a different browser.
Yes, sir.
Cause you just don't want it to get fired.
I'm ahead of you. No worries.
All right. Good. Good.
But I was just kind of throwing out that, really, do you have to remove it completely?
Yeah. No.
I thought that was too simple. Yeah. Too simple.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Really, Steve, if you're not going to work for these, we're not going to do the theme. Okay.
Yeah, but that sweeper is good. I like that. Fanfare for the Common Man. Come on, it's good.
It's good.
Okay.
I got idea for one. We'll see if we can. Maybe we'll just kind of. Right. We'll just have one new one every week.
Yeah, right.
There you go. That would be good. All right. You know, for this gang mentality segment to do an Apple Death Watch. Here's what I got to tell you. All right. So I read this stuff and it is stunning to me about how Apple's dead and Apple's doing really well. The iPhone is downtrending dramatically as Android goes up, and yet iPhone is doing very well and is the most profitable handset. And you know, you go back and forth and back and forth and back and forth, and pretty soon even I am looking at this and wondering, what's the reality?
Yeah, it just gets so tiring. Unbelievable. To keep reading it. It's the longs versus the shorts, you know? It's just crazy. Yeah.
Well, a lot of these stories though are that they're doomed and they've lost $300 billion worth of value, which of course has happened. And some people are calling for Tim Cook's head because of it.
Yeah.
But the stock was way overvalued to begin with. And
not according to Stephen Graham.
No, that's not necessarily the case. I mean, there are plenty of people that say it wasn't overvalued. There were people that were saying it was undervalued, you know, as it was rising to its peak. So, you know, it's the problem with these things is, you know, it's a link bait war is what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Between, exactly. I mean, you know, Henry Blodgett and Business Insider, I'm even getting sick of even reading any of that stuff anymore, clicking on anything. And now Forbes, which basically allows anyone to guest post, is turned into the same damn thing, you know? And then you've got sites like Seeking Alpha, which also allows contributors. And it just gets into a peeing match between these opposing views. And you know, the media properties love it because it's page views, you know? And CNET, which has always been pro-Microsoft, anti-Apple, they're in the game too, you know what I mean? And I'm kind of like you, Steve. I'm just dialing this stuff out, you know? I don't even click on this crap anymore.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah.
It's, you don't know what you can believe because it's basically just anybody out there that it's like, you know, everybody's got an opinion, you know, and it's just like, you know what, you know, everybody's got an opinion. Okay, fine. You know, I'm going about my business and I'm not selling Apple stock, you know? So,
well, the one thing that bothers me is that there's this myth that Steve Jobs was this, you know, he was the ultimate decision maker and that they don't have that sort of role anymore. And that, you know, Cook is a operations guy and doesn't have an eye for design and, you know, is not a marketer and all this kind of crap. I just don't buy that. You know, they were running for most of the decade before Jobs died. You know, the people that are at the top were running the company.
Right.
Same guys. Right.
Yep.
And Jobs was there occasionally when he felt well enough to do a presentation, and he did those, but he wasn't day to day there for much of the last 10 years.
Well, the last few anyway, before he died. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would agree, you know, and first of all, that story about, the markets after Tim Cook's head, that was planted by a hedge fund manager who's a known manipulator. You know, and there was.
Oh, really? I didn't see that.
Oh, yeah. There was a story I read on that it just made such total sense. You know, it's some guy who's a, you know, manipulating the stock to his advantage. And these hedge fund guys can get away with murder, you know, despite what you read about insider trading cases being prosecuted, you know, all this manipulation goes on in the clear and nobody seems to get in trouble for it, you know, but you really, really have to be careful what you believe, you know? But I agree. I mean, Cook can run the company. It's frustrating to see him not introducing products soon enough you know, for people's liking.
Well, things have slowed down from that standpoint.
Yep.
No question.
Well, I think that there was just wasn't enough innovation in the past year. I mean, there were incremental moves. There wasn't anything that was that dramatic. And I think that iOS 6 is just not that interesting. It's not that much different than iOS 5 was. So then they've introduced some problems like what's going on with iCloud, which works some of the time and doesn't work some of the time, and that's also problematic when if you're running on top of the Google stack. I mean, Google works almost all the time, and it does go down occasionally, but it's
very occasionally.
Yeah, it seems a lot more robust than what iCloud has. So, you know, I think they're sort of running behind right now, and they really do need to shake it up somewhat. And I'm not sure, it doesn't sound like from what they said this week that we're going to see major stuff at WWDC. Seems like it's going to be later in the year.
Yeah, it sure does.
Well, in terms of shipping, yeah. They're going to show iOS 7 and OS 10, but but it's to developers to develop stuff towards that.
Right.
Well, so, I tell you, it didn't hurt ticket sales at WWDC. It sold out in less than 2 minutes.
2 minutes,
isn't that crazy? and some guy's trying to sell a ticket on eBay for $10,000 already. And I mean, it's crazy. But I also saw an item where they have reached out to select developers to offer them tickets if they miss out. So, you know, they're trying to bend over backwards to accommodate people. And for the first time, they're going to post videos during the event for people that couldn't get in. If they're a registered developer, they'll be able to access these videos. It's not a live stream, but they're going to post videos quickly, you know, during the event. And it's like a 4-day event, right, Steve? Or is it even longer than that?
No, it's four days.
4 days, yeah. And then the other thing I just read is there's 125 student scholarships available for ages 13 and above that want to apply to attend. So, but there's just such a, you know, a huge desire to see, okay, what's coming from Apple that it's even more intense this year to get into that thing than it has been in the past. But like you say, what are they really going to let out of the bag? You know, they're not going to let any product announcement out of the bag, are they? I mean,
the only thing that they could possibly come out with is this cheap iPhone. That may be the thing, and that would be significant.
I still think it's a mistake, but moving on.
Well, you know,
they need a cheaper iPhone. Although I did see a story this week someplace that said the cheap iPhone for India is the iPhone 4.
Well, that's exactly what I was going to say. That came out in the earnings call. You know, the iPhone 4 is getting huge take up over in India and Asia, maybe in China too, because it is a lot less expensive and it works perfectly fine, you know, for them. So maybe that's the cheap iPhone, certainly for the immediate future. So I guess I wouldn't be thinking we're going to hear a cheap iPhone announcement in the fall. I think we'll be hearing a lot more before we hear about some other newer, cheaper plastic phone, you know. I mean, hey, I'm waiting for the iPhone 5S first, you know. Come on, baby. That's the one I want to see.
Yeah, we're not going to see that for a while.
Well, September, well, maybe, but, don't you think?
But when you look at the iPhone 4, which you can buy at Walmart unlocked for $449 without a contract.
Or you can get for free with the contract.
Right.
Practically anywhere, right?
Uh-huh. You know, that against any number of later model Android phones that cost $300 or $350 if you buy them unlocked.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're a consumer, unless you're really, really into the iOS infrastructure or ecosystem, you know, I don't know if it is worth an extra $100, $150 for
the ecosystem?
Three-year-old technology? I don't know.
Well, I think there's a lot of young kids that are happy to have that. Now, whether there's a lot of folks in India that want to pay that upcharge, I don't know, but
so doing a plastic iPhone that's less expensive, that has new parts in it, I think psychologically there's more value there. So if they did a $399 quote cheap iPhone totally unlocked, there would probably be a lot of uptake on that.
Oh yeah, I think there would be. And I don't argue that they won't eventually do it. I just don't think it'll be the first thing out of the chute in the fall, you know, by any stretch.
No, I'm thinking at WWDC. What do they announce besides the next version of OS 10 and iOS 7?
Well, yeah, they've got to have something exciting.
The watch, maybe. Yeah. Maybe the TV.
But that's kind of, that whole watch thing has just sort of died off. I mean, it's just the press was making a big deal out of that. I just don't see the big future in watches.
Nah. And you should know, because you have that one.
Strapped one on.
Yeah, it was a toy.
Yeah.
And I don't wear it all the time, which is kind of frustrating sometimes, because, you know, I do like the ability to know that I'm getting phone calls and messages, but at the same time, I also wear a watch because I think it, you know, of a fashion statement, and I'm sorry, the Pebble watch just ain't real fashionable.
It's a little.
Well, when you get those Google glasses, though, that'll be.
Yeah.
I'm not overly charged about that. I am getting a new phone, though.
Oh.
What are you going to get?
I've ordered that HTC One.
Oh, finally have a black one yet?
That looks awesome.
Finally out in black online.
Oh, there you go.
When are you going to get it?
2 to 5 business days, I believe, is the words that I'm getting. So.
Well, I'm reading some really good stuff about it.
Yeah, so am I.
Looks and like a great phone.
I actually received my case for it last week. So
you're ready. I'm ready. Is this the one that's supposed to be so solid and well built? Did I hear you say
all aluminum construction?
Yeah,
You know, front facing speakers and a rear facing microphone. Thank God.
Well, the punchline that I've read is that it's the iPhone of Android. That it's just a phenomenal design, even though there's a couple of little peccadillos about it that people don't like. But for the most part, it's just getting glowing reviews.
This will be the first phone I've ever owned that doesn't have a removable battery.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. What do you do when they die? I don't.
Well, you carry one of those little battery packs. You can plug it in.
Yeah. I have a 6,400 milliamp external battery that'll charge my iPad up to about 90%, or it'll do the iPhone in about, you know, 4.5 seconds. Not really, but.
Wow.
But
wow.
Yeah,
that's got to be
small.
That's got to be tough on your battery.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding.
It's like, that's got to be tough.
Well, I read somewhere where you can get a solar powered battery charge. Is it a case or something?
No, there actually is a company in Utah that makes a solar battery charger. There are several companies that make them, but this particular one, I know a guy who stuck it on his backpack, and when they went backpacking, he was using his iPhone because he said, you know, I would just use it for GPS. And a couple of times when they were up high, he actually got signal, but he was using it primarily for maps.
Sure.
And so that was kind of cool because he had a maps app that didn't require internet access and would just use the GPS. And he said it charged completely, you know, like in just a few hours.
Huh, cool.
So, yeah.
I could see that.
I did get somewhat laughed at last night by the person that I was ordering the phone from. I noticed the other three phones on your account are all iPhones. What's up with that?
Oh, really? How funny.
Yeah, it's like, ah, shush up. I like being different.
Yeah.
So all right. What else? Tim, are you off to WordCamp today? Are you off to camp today?
I'm not, unfortunately.
Sorry.
Got other stuff to do.
You go into the spring football game at TCF Bank Stadium.
Is that what you're doing there?
I'm thinking. It's such a nice day.
What a beautiful day.
It's only a buck to get in, you know.
Well, or you could come over to my dad's house with me and help me paint the basement.
Oh.
So.
Oh, gee, there's a tough decision. Stand outside, yeah. Beautiful day, or go into somebody's dark basement.
There we go. Soon to be not dark.
There
That's
you go.
True.
I'm going to basically whitewash the walls, the concrete walls.
There you go.
So
Midwest Mobile Summit. I know that Graham, you and I are both heading that direction.
Well,
is that Monday?
That's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow and Monday. Yeah.
I'm thinking of bailing out of that now. I've got a family thing that came up, and unfortunately, I don't have anybody to drive with as I thought I might, and so I'm gonna. Are you going to attend both days, Phil? Or
yes, I am.
Okay. Well, I know others that will be up there, so we'll have to get updates from you.
Well, do you guys want to just use the Minovate jet? Because you could just rent a car when you got up there.
Where did we get it? Where did we get a jet?
Well, it's out here at Flying Cloud Airport. You know, it's a Citation. Yeah, I wish.
I didn't realize we were actually making money. Yeah.
Just like put it.
My wife asks me all the time. She goes, okay, so if you won the lottery, what would you do? And I said, I'd get a jet. She goes, no, seriously. I said, yeah, seriously. Mm-hmm. When I was working at NewTek, the CEO bought a 26-year-old British Fokker jet and had it gutted and repainted and redone. And he sent it up here for me, and I flew it down to Kansas. And there's just no better way to travel, I'm telling you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, maybe we just get a share in NetJets.
Yeah, let's do it.
Could you work on that, Steve?
I'll get on that sometime next year.
Do a trade out for ads on the site.
There you go.
NetJets will buy that.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, Warren Buffett would see this as a good investment.
Because of our worldwide reach of 10 or 15. That's not bad. They're movers and shakers. That's what
they're right. That's right. All right. Well, thanks everyone for listening to
the Minovate Gang podcast.
Take care.
See you guys.